This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Now and Not Yet. Pressing in when you're waiting, wanting, and restless for more. Written and narrated by best-selling author Ruth Cho Simons and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hey guys, I'm so happy to talk with you today. Thanks so much for pressing play and for sharing this time with me together today on the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I know you get to choose how you use your time. I'm so grateful you're here with me. Thank you to those who have showed up to leave book reviews, podcast reviews. I just so appreciate you showing up here to spend time with me. So good job today. You are here to learn about what every spouse of a positively wired partner needs to know about conflict. And I am so glad you're here with me because I do want to help you to resolve conflict and even to prevent it. But I also want you to understand that our personalities do drastically influence this part of us, right? Like, we do know that Gottman and many researchers have done an absolutely beautiful job at helping us to really unravel the mysteries of marriage in general. But these insights we can get when we really look at a person's conflict style can help us to dive even deeper. You know this if you've read my book, The Enneagram and Marriage, Your Guide to Thriving Together in Your Unique Pairing. But today we're fleshing it out on the podcast a little deeper. So I'm happy to take you on this mini pod journey, but we're covering a lot of terrain today because we're talking about Enneagram types 2, 7, and 9, or it can also be somebody who has more of that withdrawing style in marriage. Sometimes a withdrawing type ends up being positive in the sense that they're like, oh, everything's cool. I just want to withdraw. And they're leaving the other partner pursuing or feeling like, wait, what? We have to be emotional here. We need to be logical here. And so maybe you're that partner who's like, but I'm left here longing for attachment, longing for nurture, longing for logic, longing for passion. And I'm here to help you today so that you can walk through this. Or you might even be that person who's positively wired listening today with me. And I get that because I fall into that track as well many times. So I really want to help all of you to make sure that you are tracking with one another in a respectful and loving way. So let's do that together. Here, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about first some of the more positive features of the positivity types, just like we did a couple weeks back when we talked about the logical types, right? So we went back through that not long ago, and that is a good episode for you to pick back up on if you're like, oh, I'm a 1, 3, or a 5, or I have some of those spaces in my tri-type, in my wings, in my arrows. For those who are not as familiar with Enneagram language, you can just say for a logically wired spouse episode, come back about 2, 3 episodes on Wednesdays. But for the rest of us and for all of us really here and now, take a deep breath as we do get into some of the positives of people that have this wiring for looking for good. And I think the first is a very obvious advantage is that instead of scanning for negativity, which we know has its place too, we also notice that with people who are more positive, there's a scanning for goodness. There's a looking around to see what is the upside of whatever's happening here. And that's extremely good for our brains and neural connectivity. And I love that because you're really truly feeding your brain with the ability to keep growing if you allow for that neurogenesis to happen safely. And by that, I just mean when our brains are in a safe and secure place, they're more likely to be able to learn and retain new information. So you have a chance for new connections and healthier connectivity in your brain when you're more positive. And it's also great to be scanning for good as long as you're also allowing yourself that balance. And so here's where some of the harder pieces can come in is Sometimes your spouse might feel like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, but like literally, like your head is in the clouds. And so I think that's important that you look at that and see about yourself if you're a logical person with a positivity type, or maybe you're a reactive person with a positivity type. If you say, yeah, sometimes I feel like that, and I try not to use a negative connotation, but sometimes I do feel like they're not really here practical with me, or they're not passionate with me. And I think that's important that we look at that. And by the way, I've been on the other side too, where I've thought Wes is in the positivity space and I'm outside of it. So I do think with enough iterations and seasons and even times of the month in marriage, you might find yourself in different points. But what we really need to look at today is A, there's a positive side that we just discussed. And B, what do we do about it when it's not so positive? How do we work with people who are wired for this positivity or in that space when it's not as helpful? And so I'll give a first few general tips, and then I'll speak to the Enneagram twos, sevens, and nines. And in general, I'll remind everybody who's positively wired or in that space that one of the most important parts about marriage is not just riding the heights together and catching the waves, but also understanding when our spouse is hurting or in pain and how meaningful that can be. I know that we often reflect here on this podcast on the work of Sue Johnson, developer of EFT. And now I have to say, unfortunately, the late Sue Johnson. We made an Instagram tribute to her this week, but also just sad that she passed recently, April 23rd, 2024. She really is the couple's best, I would say, therapist who taught us in this way of we have to sit with each other in our spaces of depth. We have to be able to help our partners to know that we care on a deep dive level and that we know how to slow down and lament with them and grieve with them, or just be present, perhaps, when they need us to just be silent, co-laborers with them. So that's the first thing to know is that you have every right to want that from your spouse, even if they're a positivity type. You're not bad or wrong to want them to soberly approach life with you. Even as much as you do, I hope, appreciate that they are positive for the most part. And you yourself, if this is you, hear me when I say, wow, I love that about you, that you're able to keep that vibrancy and pep in your step, and that you're able to walk with your partner through the highs and lows of life with this optimistic attitude. I love that about you, but I just want everybody to be mindful that when somebody is suffering, it's important that we allow ourselves to come into that space with a sense of compassion, which can mean, as I said, sitting in that suffering with them, whether it be quietly like Job's friends or whether it be sharing tips or giving encouragement. It's not just happy days at the circus, or maybe you don't like the circus, but it's not just happy days at Disney. Okay, also bad example. For a lot of parents who are like, Disney is so hot. Okay, I'm going to say like mountaintop experiences, and then you can fill in the blanks for whatever that is for you. What are your highs? What are these moments where you're like, okay, I want to thrive together? You can't always have that. You have to allow for normalcy and also to see what's really happening under the surface so that you can look and explore and discover maybe what you missed in your quest for joy, maybe what you missed in your quest for happiness. So I do want you to allow your spouse to bring you to a space of sobriety or emotions because both are important. But I also want you to know, spouses, and if you're a positivity type hearing this, that self-soothing will be part of it all for your positivity type spouse. And how we can do some self-soothing is a few ways. And we'll talk this out a little with two, seven, and nine, particularly, but in general, you hear me say it a lot. I'm going to repeat it because it's worth it, that when we're in conflict, we need to be positive 5-to-1 ratio positives to negatives. So that means that we feel a lot more disrupted and our bodies feel like they need to be in the fight or flight more if we're in that space of like just being critiqued or hurt or defensive. And that's important that you know that if you're not coming in with positivity and you're not titrating that balance, then they're going to get a little bit disrupted in their body's processing systems because there's nothing more important than human attachment. And when your spouse frankly says to you, we're not attaching well, it's scary. So it's so important that you allow yourself to understand your positively wired spouse is going to try to reframe unless you allow them to hear that you love them no matter what. So let's say you want them to do the dishes more and you're like, I really just want you to do the dishes more. What you also want to do is appreciate them around that. Like, hey, today you've had a long day. I noticed that you really were killing it with this and that over here and over there. And I noticed that you were really supporting the kids in this way, or your hard work in this way showed up, or you were showing up for yourself because you got great self-care today. Something that I've been struggling lately, however, is that I'm struggling with the amount of managing this particular thing, in this case, the dishes. And so that helps them to feel safer with you. Otherwise, your positivity type spouse is just gonna feel like, oh my gosh, like I right away need to be like, oh, but I got this done. And so that doesn't get anything accomplished or solved when you just rise up and make it positive. But instead, if you, as the spouse of the positively wired person, can come around and say, I am really appreciative of all you do and creating a safe space here for you to hear this and really lavishing you. I also want you to know, though, that this is something I'd love to work on together to see what we could come up with. And instead of using I language, use we language, because this helps positively oriented spouses to feel so connected with you. Like, okay, we're going to work on this and they appreciate me, but there's a bit of a dilemma and they're hurting. And it's just a healthier way to approach it with a positively wired person. Now, another general tip for positively wired people is to talk about the conflict, but make it a fun beginning and ending. So you might say, like, let's go do something great, like a walk and talk, which is so helpful for a positively wired person because their brain is going to be scanning, their eyes are scanning, and it actually helps us, as we're seeing with newer research, to do this scanning with our eyes and walking and getting those endorphins going. So great, beautiful, positive way to start. You might also say, hey, after we have this walk and talk, I want to talk about a few things we could maybe work on. Can we also go get an ice cream together? Or could we go to the movies together? Or do you think we could cuddle and watch The Office? Whatever it is, make sure you allow them to see that connection and a bit of a reward, but give them a sense of we're going to be talking about something. And then also let them know what it is. Try not to leave. I would say most spouses don't like for you to leave them hanging. Like, hey, can we talk? And then not say anything. So I just think that's normal and courteous to say, here's what I want you to prepare for, but I also want to help you to understand that we're going to have some fun around this. And so those are my general tips. And if you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's a lot of work, help yourself to understand this is healthy to be able to work through conflict resolution with peace and with help. You have to create a healthy setting. So that is okay. That is not bad or wrong. It is worthy of your time. And I know if you're a logically wired spouse, you're like, is it though? That's why I'm encouraging you. It is worth it to encourage your positively wired spouse. They will listen more and you will logically get what you want more. And then if you're more of that passionate person, that 4, 6, or 8, whereas the more logical would have been like the 1, 3, 5 generally. If you're in that 4, 6, 8 passionate space, you might be wondering, like, I'm upset, I'm hurting. Like, why do I have to be positive? And it's more or less what I mentioned earlier for you with the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system pieces, where if you are really agitated, and this is normally a person with this positivity equilibrium, they're going to be run off by all of your emoting and energy and intensity, and you're not going to get very far with your 2, 7, or 9. So again, looking at outcomes is what we want to do when it comes to conflict, outcomes that will also foster connection. Because nobody wins if you just leave in a huff and you're just super frustrated and super tired or angry or upset, or maybe you have run off, your cortisol is so high that you just had to book it and leave. Maybe you said things that you didn't mean. I have this with clients all the time. So you may feel like some of these tips I'm giving feel a little bit like you're walking on this tightrope, but I want to encourage you to take a deep breath and say, I can do this. I can learn to be more positive. Wired, even as I bring in something I'm passionate around, even as I bring up something that I need to be logical about. So this is a safe way to do it, is making sure you're titrating the positives to negatives, making sure you're surrounding it with something of a celebration, even just a little connection piece, like I said, a fun show that you name, hey, let's watch this after we talk tonight, or let's have a walk while we talk, so that we can keep the positive vibes going. Now, with a 2, 7, and 9, particularly before we end today, let's make sure that we also cover what they would want and need. with a two. Twos are often so busy serving and their boundaries with everybody that they really have a hard time slowing down and not feeling like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. It's hard when they've got a baby. It might be different because there's these moments where they're like, okay, I know it. This is mine to do. This baby can't survive without me, generally speaking. But when that's a little easier for all of you to say, okay, this baby needs them and they're going to give everything they can. But whether it's a baby or an older person, your marriage still needs attention too. And that's what I want the twos to know. But if you're with a two, understand that there is an intense amount of guilt for them to leave that person that they feel like needs them. And so they need to feel like there's a good replacement for that. Like, okay, I care so deeply that if you tell me, don't visit this person in the nursing home, who's going to visit them? So it's important that you allow for that too, to hear you say, like, I love you and you deserve a break and God will take care of everybody. But also, if you can help to be particular about how that help is going to be given, that helps them too. And they might struggle to ask somebody for help. So it may be helpful for you to also reach out for help on this other piece they're letting go of. If it's their church, for instance, you might say to the church, hey, you know what? I just want you to know between all of us, my spouse has given me permission to talk about this and do get permission first. We need you to know that they need a bit of a break.
This episode is brought to you in part by Beyond Ordinary Women Ministries, which prepares Christian women for leadership. At BOW, we believe that every woman is a leader because she influences someone. So, whom do you influence? Do you mentor a woman, serve in the workplace, or do you lead a small group, teach the Bible, or even lead an entire ministry? No matter who or how many you influence, our free online resources will help equip you. Our videos, podcast episodes, and articles from experienced women leaders will encourage you and perfect your leadership skills. They offer wisdom for dealing with ministry pitfalls, current biblical issues, health for your own soul, and insights for shepherding others well. In addition, BOW offers Bible studies designed to connect women of multiple generations. They provide a challenge to both women new to the Bible and those wanting to dig deeper. Be our guest and browse all of our free resources and low-cost Bible studies at beyondordinarywomen.org.
So these are some things that you guys can work out as you being a teammate and helping them to understand they deserve a break, but you also understanding whatever boundary you're asking them to set in terms of that break, that you understand that's hard for them. And so encouraging them, lifting them up, and even helping them is great. Now, if you're with a seven and they're just reframing and rationalizing all the hard, understand that it's deeply wedded with this sense of doom if they do bring it up and start to stir with it and sit with it. So we tend to sevens go up and down with trying to sit with it and then, oh, back up again. That was painful and pain is wrong or bad. So just understanding that sevens are wired to stay away from the pain and even more than probably everybody is, but sevens especially. And so just knowing that you can encourage them by saying, like, let's just visit this topic for about 5 minutes so that we know that we're in a safe space. And if they need to talk about it longer and want to, that's fine because sevens have on either side reactivity wings. So they could be reactive and positive in different moments. But if you can bring in a through line of logic and say, clearly, I love you. I'm here with you. We're going to figure this out and we're going to allow you some freedom. That's just a little help for you to realize that when sevens feel trapped and in pain, it's a warning signal. And it's like, you know, a bat running out of the cell. Like you have to let them have their freedom too, or it really won't work for you to be like, I need you to do this. You have to do this. And you have to walk through the pain. Like those are pieces they're going to have to figure out for themselves, but you can't force it on them. So being gentle and kind, even if there's a bit of reactivity, even if there's a bit of logic, bringing in a bit of positivity too. Like you can do this. We can do this. And I believe in you. And what way would make you feel the safest to do this? Try to work that out. They're also an anxiety type that you may forget sometimes. They don't always act out on anxiety, but there's a lot of fear and needing for good planning for sevens. So make sure you don't leave that out of the equation if you're trying to grow through a conflict with them. Say, let's figure this out with good planning. Let's help you to not feel like you have to be in pain forever. Let's give this a few minutes. Let's plan something positive around it. And then last of all, our nines. Our nines can often feel guilt or shame. I just talked to nines for that today who feel like, oh my goodness, it's hard to be that spouse who doesn't remember sometimes about relating with my partner. It's hard to be that spouse who's being seen as the forgetful one or the one who's maybe busy doing domestic things but doesn't get a lot of voice or doesn't get their own self-care needs met. So even though they're positive and they're loving others, sometimes it's hard for them to even make decisions about themselves. So when you're a bit passionate or logical, try to include them in it. So you're not just passionate and logical about your needs. Try to say, like, as we figure this conflict out, I don't want to forget you in the business of it. What can we do for you to make sure your needs are met too? And they may even need your help walking that out and reminders for them to have some healthy physicality. And they may want you to be a reminder setter for them. But if that's not your natural stance, or you're like, I'm longing for attention from you, talk to them about that, but make sure you're kind with them so that you're not bossing or arrogant and saying, like, you never give me attention. And instead, just say, I happen to be a heart type who likes attention, but yet I know you need your self-care. How can we work that out? And then you guys can have a more practical, chill conversation. And it's also helpful if you set the boundary first to say, hey, I love you. I'm not going anywhere, but I just want to make sure you know that I want our lives to be as joyful as possible. So this is the only reason I'm bringing that up, because nines often feel like if they actually share what's on their mind, that you'll use it as ammo, or is that maybe that you might leave them. So it's just important that you let them know, I love you. I'm not going anywhere. But I've noticed this lately as an issue in our lives, and try to stay as positive as possible. Like I said, have something comforting for them after or before, just as I said with two or not, seven, and make sure you let them know how much you love and appreciate all they do, because they're major justice types and they love to be seen. They know that people forget them, and it just means the world to know you haven't forgotten them. That brings positivity from you, not just to you. So I love that you can all work to balance positivity, logic, and also that passion together, that reactivity that's needed to show, to say, I care deeply. And if you're that positive person, try to bring that in too, so that people don't think you're just head in that clouds kind of person, but that you have depth and you have capacity for more. And make sure you do some healthy self-soothing if you haven't found that yet. So you can learn about that from other podcasts here, and also read my book. I have so many things for you in my book, The Enneagram and Marriage, Your Guide to Thriving Together in Your Unique Pairing, so that you can check those out even in more depth. But thank you guys so much for joining me today. And don't forget to leave your reviews if you haven't yet. I so appreciate it. I hope you'll take one thing from today's episode that you're going to do this midweek or whenever you're listening. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.